Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Good morning, campers! Pick up your coffee cup, make a cup of tea, pour yourself a beer. Hair of the dog, it's the Francine Marie Show!
Good morning, thanks for joining us. A mother, author, and entrepreneur, Tamara McGill McFarland, is joining us today. She's a vocal advocate for women's rights to choose motherhood on her own time and be the author of her own story. It's Tamara McGill McFarland. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Woo! Cue the applause. Thank you for having me, Fran.
If I had an interview with you every day, it would just make my day.
Oh, me too. So much commonalities. The fabulousness, the hair, the earrings, the everything. So much we could talk about.
Is it true, Tamara, that there's some 23 million miscarriages that occur every year?
Women don't even know. A lot of times you have no idea that your body's even doing it. You think maybe you're just having a heavy cycle. Oh, maybe I missed my cycle. It actually is more than likely a miscarriage, or like those chemical pregnancies. You know, something that just kind of comes and goes and kind of rids itself. Your body knows that it's not going to be a healthy pregnancy, and it just rids itself of the pregnancy. And you don't even know.
A woman who's been through it a lot of times, you just you know your body a little more. You listen to your body a little more. Is that
right? You just don't think about it, right? You think, I'm a healthy person. I eat healthy. But when it comes down to it, it's 1 in 4. It has nothing to do with what you put in your body. 1 in 4 women will miscarry, period. And there's nothing you can do about it.
We take the onus of, it is my fault. There's a movie called Anne Boleyn, and it was back in the day, and she was the queen, and she was trying to have this baby, but she had 2 miscarriages, and he's like, bye-bye. How do we not take responsibility? How do we not feel guilty? How do we not?
I would say, because what's crazy is this is a male and female issue. And a lot of times back in like the 1800s, when the male would say, I want a son, she can give me a son, and she can't even get pregnant. Actually, the problem is you, sir. It's you. But no, it's off with her head. You know, we were just treated as such second-class citizens, or just no good. If you couldn't have children, you're just no good. Luckily for me, I wasn't raised in the mindset of my sole purpose on earth is to bear children. So I don't find my worth in that. That is something that I later on in life decided that I wanted. But in my 20s, you couldn't catch me with a baby. To each his own. But I was living my life. There's so much for women to do. There's so much that we're afforded to. And if I'm going to be a mom, you cannot do all those things. And mother, you can, but you pay, right? You pay on the front end, you pay on the back end, you pay. You know, the mommy guilt. Some things you do have to put on hold while you push your career forward as a woman. I mean, it just is. These are just the facts of life. Now, if you have the resources, you can take your child with you and do all these things, which in my 20s, I wouldn't have been able to do that.
You had your daughter in your late 30s and your son in your 40s?
Yep, I sure did. I sure did. And having my son as late as I did was not initially by design. It's because I miscarried so many times. So I started in my mid-30s. So I would say since 2017 to 2021, I was probably pregnant every year except for maybe 3 of the years. I get pregnant when the wind blows. I might be pregnant now. But for my body, sometimes it will not hold. It will just the pregnancy, I would lose the pregnancy. And I'm going to say we, because it's me and my husband. I'm not taking that on myself. And that's one thing I want women to do as well. It's not all on you, babe. It takes more than you to get pregnant. It's more than you that's going through it. And I learned that through one of my miscarriages. My husband was like, it's affecting me too. It's not fair to just, you know, put everything on me. Like, I'm hurting. I'm sad. I'm upset. And he's like, this is my child too. I'm hurting too. So, you know, women, just be mindful of that, that your partner, whoever you are in this with, be it male, female, all the other different types of genders that we can be right now, like whomever, and that's not even being like, I literally mean that, whoever your partner is, give them space to grieve with you as well, because they hurt too.
You know, your body feels bad. You go to the hospital, they tell you the news, and then boom, you have to go back to work the next day. I'm like, everything's back to normal.
Well, what happened for me pretty much every time, I went in to hear the heartbeat. Everything was fine. The pregnancy was fine. I didn't have any bleeding or anything the first pregnancy. I was pregnant along with my maid of honor, my sister-in-law, and one of my other girlfriends at the time. We were all pregnant at the same time. And I became the one in four. I went to my doctor's appointment to hear my baby's heartbeat. And we had our older daughter with us, my bonus baby from my husband's first marriage, with us. And we went into the room to hear the heartbeat. And initially, I was a bit apprehensive about bringing her. And I don't know why. I was like, honey, maybe she shouldn't come in the room. They're 9 years old at the time. And I was like, honey, I don't know if she needs to be in here with us. He's like, oh, it's fine. I was like, okay, I guess it's fine. You know, we go in there and the doctor gets everything started and she's doing the sonogram and she's looking for the heartbeat. And I'm at 12 weeks. So the heartbeat should be there thumping. And she's like, well, we're going to have you guys come back tomorrow. There's no heartbeat yet, but let's give it a day or so and have you come back in and just see if we can pick it up. And I don't know if that was her way of trying to prepare me, or maybe she wanted to see if maybe it would, you know, something would happen in 24 hours or something. But we went back in, and I think the next day would have maybe put me at 13 weeks. So we definitely should have had a heartbeat by then. And we go back in and there's no heartbeat. So then the conversation is, do you want to let the miscarriage happen naturally, or do you want us to go in and get the baby and take the baby? And for me, I didn't want to go home and sit and wait for my body to find a time to, I'm not taking myself through any more than what I'm already sitting in right now, because I'm already in disbelief. Because how did this happen? You know, you go your whole life trying not to get pregnant, and then you get pregnant, and then this happens, and you're like, what, how does this happen? You know, I'm eating right, cut out the sushi. You know, I'm like eating no sandwich. I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing right. And this happened. So I couldn't believe it. And so I get home and I said, let's do it. You know, we're going to do the surgery. So I do the surgery when I went to the hospital. And, you know, shouts out to the ladies over at, I believe it was Novant. They were so sweet. The intake, I mean, the nurses, everyone, you know, just touching my shoulder saying, hun, it's going to be okay. You know, this happens. And I mean, just sweet, sweet. So even though it was a horrible experience, the women around that I was surrounded with, my mom came down, you know, my stepdad, of course, my husband was there, everybody was there, but they just surrounded me with so much support that it was like, I can do this. Yeah.
Life is already heavy.
Yeah, it is. My support group at the time, I think, really helped out a lot. And that was the first time. And then I ended up, my maid of honor at the time was having her baby a few months later. And I did her baby shower for her. I felt like I had to, because, you know, she was like a sister to me. And so it's like, she would do it for me. This is what I'm going to do. And I still planned and did her baby shower. Felt great about it. Yeah, maybe that even helped me somehow. But
this morning, we had a new best friend. She's a mother. She's an author. She's an entrepreneur. It's Tamra McGill McFarland, vocal advocate for women's rights to choose motherhood on her own time. Tell us about the book.
It's an anthology with 20 authors total for the book Pivot. And it's called Pivot, How the Pandemic Pushed Women to Their Passion. And the book follows the lives of 20 women of color who went through the pandemic and what their stories were through the pandemic. So my story through the pandemic was a fertility journey, because after all these years of infertility, you have to read the book.
You got to read the book.
It was very cathartic. I had no idea what putting pen to paper would do. You know, you think about it as a child, as a little girl, we're actually prompted to write, you know, the whole diary thing. We're prompted to start putting pen to paper very, very early. And I did not realize the power in doing that. I don't, because now it's information age. Everything you just type in your phone or you put on your computer or in a Word doc or something like that. But just literal pen to paper, you sit with your thoughts and write. And it felt so good to me because I just recently started sharing my story a few years ago. Just to give you a little backstory, I was watching Gabrielle Union on Dr. Phil. It was one of the nights when I was having a miscarriage, and I was up late at night waiting for my doctor's appointment the next morning. And I was watching different videos, and she said that she felt like a lot of women were suffering in silence. And I thought to myself, am I suffering in silence? You know, I don't talk about it. I don't share. I don't know who else is really going through it. And I'm not falling apart and all over the floor. Life goes on. You just put this face on and you just push forward with whatever's going on in your life. So I felt like, gosh, maybe I am suffering in silence. I need to talk about it. So the more I started to talk, the more women started opening up. The more men started opening up, more people started saying, you know what, my sister is going through this, or my son and his wife is going through this. Like, all these people are going through these things and we're not talking to each other and sharing. So maybe my silence was my suffering, you know, even though I didn't feel like I was suffering, I didn't give myself permission to fall apart. I don't know why. I just permission to feel and to be okay with that feeling. It got to the point where it became commonplace, like a loss, like, oh, well, here we go again. You know, it really did. One of my girlfriends reached out to me and said a publisher reached out to her about a long Facebook post that she did about her mental health during the pandemic. And they asked if I would be willing to share my story about what I went through during the pandemic. And so I decided to share. And there are some very interesting stories. You know, one of the women in the book lost 3 or 4 family members before 12 noon due to the pandemic. Another woman had a soup kitchen open in Newark the whole time during the pandemic. Like, so all different walks of life, 20 women from all over the country talked about their journey through the pandemic. So it's a very interesting book, Pivot: How the Pandemic Pushed Women to Their Passion. There's a portion in the book that offers self-help so that you can go through and see how you can try to pivot your life. I'm sure any woman can look in this book at any of these stories and find themselves in these pages and then use the self-help portion in the back to pivot their lives as well.
That word pivot, you know, we might have not been that type of personality before the pandemic, but we became it.
Yeah.
We were on the runway doing the pivots.
Yeah.
But not only are you a mother, mm-hmm. an author, you're an entrepreneur.
Yes. My husband and I started a commercial construction business, gosh, 12 years ago. We are now the number 3 top Black owned business in our region. Revenue sales wise, we are one of the top places to work, top 40 places to work in the state. We have construction offices from DC and Maryland all the way down to Florida. Busy, busy bees. Busy bees. We're busy bees. I stepped back after I had our daughter 6 years ago so that I could mom and mother. Now I just help out as far as the back end for community service or different events and things that we might have. I come in and help with that. Really just a ear, because we started this thing together. I'm super, super proud of where the business is today and where we're going. And yeah, after this, we have an interview too as well together after I finish talking to you.
If you could just see the face of Tamra, you're like, construction?
Right.
Tamra, I am so proud. We are so proud of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And, you know, that was his vision. I am a marketing person by trade. Initially, my degree, I was going on the track of broadcasting and journalism, but I ended up with a marketing degree. And my husband's the engineer. And he's like, I had this idea to start this company. He was already working in construction for business development. And I said, well, what's the idea? So we sat and talked about it. I said, well, if you can do that for another business, you can do that for us. What do I need to do? How can I help? And so we started together and grew the business to what it is today. So yeah, no, I wouldn't have just been construction girl. No. But my husband said we're the sexy part of construction. So we...
Very classy construction.
Yeah, it's classy.
It's sophisticated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We wore white gloves on the plant. Hello. Yeah.
That's a good idea. I need to get some white gear.
But you got to tell us about Tamra's Taste and Tamra's Taste Unplugged. Lady, we just want to be in your company.
So Tamra's Taste started off as a blog that I was started designing, a blog. We travel a lot. We're always doing things and going places. And as a mom, I'm always trying to find the best coffee shops or the best kind of stuff that you can use to throw and go and just a little bit of fabulousness. So I said, you know what? Why not do a blog about that? And I'll call it Tamra's Taste. And then so as I started developing that, my voice just got louder and louder. Because like I said, my major initially was in broadcast and journalism. So I want to broadcast and journalism. Okay, that's what I want to do. So I was like, well, what am I waiting for? I was a co-host of a sports and entertainment show on UPN 33 in South Florida when I lived in Miami. So I was like, why not just do it myself? I mean, girl, there is the you, the tube. There's the YouTube. People are doing it. What are you waiting for? So I was like, well, I'm going to just go ahead and do that. So I got that going in the blog. And that's what Tamara's Taste is as a whole.
Ooh, tasty, yummy, delicious, rich, and decadent. Ooh.
Ow, girl, you better say that decadent. You better say it. Because I like a good decadent hotel.
Decadent. It's decadent. So how can we get in touch with you? How would you like us to get in touch with you? I know I've only got about 4 or 5 more minutes with you.
Okay.
What can we, I mean, you do a lot for community. You do a lot for us. Supporting women on this journey of having babies and entrepreneurship too, right? Mm-hmm. We just don't have babies. We do it all.
Yes, we do it. We wear all the hats, all the hats. You can find me on The Tamara's Taste on Instagram. Just come on over there. Find me on Instagram at The Tamara's Taste. You'll see drops of when my next episode is airing. I have an episode actually airing every Tuesday, Tamara's Taste Tuesdays. Every episode, you'll have a YouTube video and also my podcast. Anywhere where you can stream podcasts, you'll find ours.
Awesome. So I just wanted to make sure the Instagram is Tamara's Taste or Tamara, The Tamara's
Taste. The Tamara's Taste. Somebody else already had it. And she's just sitting on it.
We can go right now. The Tamara's Taste mm-hmm. on Instagram. The Tamara's Taste on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
These days we Google things. So it's all about spelling Tamara's name correctly, darling. And that is T-A-M-A-R-A. Mm-hmm. And it's McGill McFarland.
Yes.
You know, we met. We met before this interview. We met, gosh, was it 2 years ago? It was during the pandemic. It was on Johnson C. Smith University campus. And we were doing a photo shoot for South Park Magazine.
Yep.
If you have a big photo shoot and you have other women, you're just admiring all of them. Like, oh my God, look at what she has on. Mm-hmm. Were they silk? It was like a silky situation you had. Well, you had two outfits. Tell us about it, darling.
One of the outfits, I actually got the cover up from Capitol. It was super cute. And I had these leggings on, these Versace leggings that I could...
I felt some Versace.
City moment. I was channeling Samantha from Sex and the City. And so I wore these cute little leggings. And then the other outfit, I did like leather and I did very 80s. Even though I am a child of the 80s, I love the 80s. I was channeling Jodie Watley. Fabulous. I said, who is this? Who is this lady?
I knew those leggings were something special. I've never seen leggings like, what is those leggings she had? But all the women were fabulous. And I'm just grateful that I got to meet you. I'm so elated that we got to like interact because during the pandemic, we had on masks and as if it's over. Mm-hmm. But now I get to see all of your magnificence.
Oh, thank you. And same to you. And I'm glad we had this exchange today and we need to do this again. And continue to share energy. I love your energy and I love your show and I appreciate your time.
Oh, girl crush. It's Tamara McGill McFarland. She is a vocal advocate for women's rights to choose motherhood on her own time, right? Be the author of your story and connect with her. You never know where the relationship will go. So go to Instagram and you know I'm going on YouTube after this interview. Instagram, it's at The Tamara Taste, YouTube at The Tamara Taste.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody say it, The Tamara Taste.
The Tamara's Taste.
Tamara's, don't forget the S, Tamara's Taste.
Yes.
All right. If you had 1 minute of wisdom, what would it be? You have isms.
I have isms. I have an ism. I'm going to borrow this one. It's not mine. It's not mine, but I love it. And it is pressure makes diamonds. And I just feel like women, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Society puts a lot of pressure on us, but that's okay. We're all diamonds. We got this. You got this, sis. If you're going through anything, any kind of issues when it comes to infertility, please talk to someone. Even you may feel like you're all right, but there could be something underlying there that's coming out in different places and spaces in your life. And you owe it to yourself to talk to someone.
I want to thank you
Thank you for having me, Fran.
It's the Francine Marie Show. We're taking a break. So before you can wipe your bum, we'll be right back.
This is my jam and jelly, y'all, on the Francine Marie Show. Spread that show out, girl. Spread it out.